Hey! Oh my god, you're back! This is fantastic. I'm Claire Bottomley and I'm your host, and this certainly is the Recruiting Superhero. Yep, you're excited, I'm excited. And if you can't wait anymore, go ahead, listen, and let me know what you think. On this episode of The Recruiting Superhero, I have put together some snippets from a call with the fabulous Alex Webb. Now, Alex forms part of the talent acquisition team within Zebra Technologies, a global, long-standing IT company that I have worked alongside for a while now. We discuss a range of topics, including one very interesting piece where he lets us know that up to 80% of the people he sets up interviews with, yes, sets up interviews with, do not do any research on the company beforehand. Now, to me, that's quite a shocking percentage. More than ever as a candidate, especially in this climate, your focus should be to try and stand out from the crowd. With this in mind, we also spoke about CV content and how it looks good and why it might not be getting you through the door. I really enjoyed having this chat with Alex. In fact, I always enjoy talking to Alex. I really hope you enjoy the episode. And if you do, give me a shout. Also, if you really like the show, don't forget to follow and share. Your support really helps. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes.
You know, is it possible, do you think, for a Zoom call to start without someone saying, can you hear me?
Alex, I swear to God, this morning I had a call and I was struggling. I genuinely...
Struggling with what? Life?
Just the audio. Just, I was like, come on, man. This is supposed to be plug and play culture. What is going on?
Look at you, plug and play. Getting
all the lingo. Do you like my virtual background? This is not really my lounge. Looks
good.
Oh,
is it not? I was quite impressed for a minute.
No kids, no people. You don't want to see really what's behind there.
Okay. I do now. Now you said that. Of course I do.
No, you don't. I like your background looks very sophisticated. You've got some books there.
I've got some books.
Yeah, lovely.
Lovely
bookshelf.
It's our smallest room, but we've just painted it. It's really happy with it, actually.
I love the colour. What is it? It's like a blue, isn't it? Like a marine.
Teal, I think.
Oh, I love teal.
It's really, really nice.
You work with Zebra at the minute, and you are working globally.
So I purely work with EMEA, but my the managers I deal with are either within EMEA or they're in North America, typically.
Okay.
And you know, we obviously have a team in you know, APAC or India and things. So, you know, we do have some cross-functional work with them as well. Yeah. Have we met twice now, I think?
Yes.
You were pregnant either way.
Was I? On both? Oh, yeah, I was. No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you were. At the, where we got everyone together around, not round table.
Was. So that's what I remember.
Where the food was. Yeah. And it's really funny because you think back how we... You know, I put a thing out on LinkedIn and it's like, we're looking for someone in Germany. And I was like, oh, we don't want an English supplier in England. You know, it just, how's that going to work? And Christine was really anti it. And then I spoke to you and I was like, actually, you've really changed my mind. And
oh, I like that.
You think how that all came about. And Christine was really like, oh, I don't know, Alex. And she's, you know, she's built up our PSL and, anyway, you've become one of her favourites, so it's funny how that's all changed and come about.
Well, the first people I thought about this when I'm thinking about launching this podcast was you and Christine, because you are the most natural, warm and honest individuals I've met within talent acquisition and HR.
I think the thing Christine and I have both, we've both come from recruitment agency. Actually, I've got more experience in the agency world than I have in-house. And I use a lot of that. I try and actually almost take that mindset into my role as opposed to being HR.
Yeah.
And I don't think of myself as HR. And I'm more HR in this role than I was in my first in-house role.
I liked being at home. I loved working from home, but I also liked to go out and into different environments, coffee shops and all that kind of thing, and interact with different people. That that is the bit that I'm missing the most. And I think most people are. I don't think anyone's going to be desperate to be working from home anytime. You know, they're going to value the time with people. I think that's...
Yeah, I think the problem with working from home at the moment is if you're a parent with children, it's obviously massively challenging because you're actually having to play mum or dad plus teacher plus do your job, assuming you're working.
Yeah.
And then you're restricted with what you can't just go, do you know what? I need some fresh air. I'm just going to go to Costa or whatever. But I think, you know, because we're talking about this a lot at work. I'm on a project looking at post-COVID working, what it's going to look like. And I'm of the opinion, actually, once, you know, life is less restrictive again, I think people will be happy to work from home, but they'll want choice.
Yeah.
You know, and that will be the same for me, because before all of this, I was very much, no, I like being in an office. But I think the future for me, and I believe a lot of people, will be have that choice of you can work from home when you want, as much as you want, but equally you've got a base that you can go to. So I really believe that, because once kids are back at school and once you can just nip down to your local coffee shop, for example, and you've got that freedom, I really believe that people will want a bit of both. So I think it's all going to be about choice. And I do think working at home is good, but I get why it's challenging right now, because we can't go and do anything. We can't go and see our mates. We can't.
No, you can't do it. And you can't really integrate. Haven't got that sort of free time, that downtime. And also for me, yeah. I absolutely loved working from home. And then all of a sudden, I'm now working at home with everyone around me. So yeah. I'm not getting any love of my home environment at the minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, I'm not, and I'm lucky enough to have a few rooms to go in. But, you know, if you end up being in, I mean, I'm in my bedroom at the minute.
Right.
And I started
off. Yeah, I don't want to see your bedroom.
No, you don't want to see my bedroom, Alex. But I started off laying in my bed. I was like, oh, this is totally comfortable, totally laying in my bed. So I'm there on my laptop, laying in my bed, tucking away. Mm. And the thing is, I'd have to prop up a few pillows in my laptop. Mm. And then my laptop would get really hot. Then I'd start sweating like a crazy person. And then I was like, oh, get out for lunch, get out for a little walk. And then by 5 o'clock, dinner time, come back, and I was like, damn, I'm back in bed again, but this time I'm going to sleep. So it really didn't work very well for a very long time. And I think that ultimately us as individuals, we like our space, but we also like variety.
Yeah,
don't we?
Yeah. If it's becoming your office, it's not healthy, because then your brain isn't switching off.
What makes a good candidate? What?
See, like, one of my biggest frustrations when I talk to people, and it doesn't matter where they come from, whether it's from an agency or whatever, and it happens a lot, I'll say to people, what do you know about Zebra? And I'll always do it in a really casual way, and 70-80% of the time people will go, oh, I don't really know. And I get it, right? We're not Google, we don't have a big well-known consumer brand, and I don't expect people to have followed us for years. What I expect is when you apply for a job and when you've got then arranged to have a call with someone from that company, you would have done some research. If you say to me, do you know what, I found out this, I'm not, you know, I don't know everything about you, but I found XYZ, I'm really happy with that. I don't expect you to be know it all. But what drives me mad, and up until a few months ago, there were times when what I wanted to say was, I don't want to take you any further forward based on that answer.
That's interesting.
But I didn't, but I would have done. And some really good, on paper, some really good people. But it's just I just think it's a crap attitude. And you know, one person said, well, you know, people waste my time. I've applied for loads of jobs. So I do get it. But if you've got a call booked in, you know it's going to happen. So put some effort in. How long does it take to Google a company and get some information? 10 minutes.
No, I totally agree. And I'm not really sure where people are learning to do it the other way, which is not research company. Where are they learning not to do that? Because, you know, if you went to go and to buy a new whatever, you would probably do a bit of research. If it was a big purchase, you'd do a research. You'd look at things and you work out what's the best thing. And then at least you have some idea of the market. Mm. I might then go out into the public and ask friends and family and go, well, actually, I've heard this. Oh, I've heard about that one. I've read about that one. So it's no different to someone just having a quick look at your company against other companies and going, yeah, I know, I do know about them. And I can see that so-and-so is your main competitor. Or because as I know, because I've recruited for you guys, is that Zebra isn't actually well known as much as I think.
We're not. Claire, I've recruited in and around the Thames Valley since 2006. I know most companies, particularly over a certain size, I'd never heard of Zebra when I was first told about the job with them. I had, but purely by accident, and I'd never taken an interest. So you just find out. I think it's a really basic thing. Like if you, like you said, to your point, if you're going to buy some trainers, let's say you're thinking about Nike or Adidas, you'll probably go and look at some reviews online. You'll probably do something to go, right, that one's £100, that one's £90, what's the difference? What am I using? Do you know what I mean? I know they're big brands, but you find out specifically about that product. And I do understand that people apply for jobs and it gets lost and they never hear back. But when you know you've got a call set up, it's just a really, there's no excuse.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that point. And actually, I really liked your frankness because you're not being a dick about it. You're not swearing and being whatever you're saying. Actually, what it does...
Yeah,
it just doesn't put you in the best light.
The other one that I get frustrated by is when you get salespeople who apply for a job and they say they work at ABC Limited, who I've never heard of, and they don't say what they're selling and who to. They just say, oh, I have to hit targets and I call people and la, la, la. Like, yeah, but what are you selling? Why are you making me go and do the hard work to go and Google that company and try and second guess? And I might get it wrong as well. So you're not helping yourself. So I just think a little, you know, even if you work for Microsoft, Microsoft's massive.
Yeah.
Which part you work for.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I think there's a lot of laziness that goes on because it's almost too easy to apply for a job now.
Mm.
You know, something that in Germany, so they will always put a covering letter.
Yeah.
Always. You know, it's in their DNA. They always put it in there. If you want to stand out from the crowd, got to personalize your CV. So there's lots of things, and you're right. You know, I think we'll bounce back quicker than if you remember a recession of 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
I think the bounce back will be quite quick, actually. But it's going to be similar to that, where there's going to be, to your point, lots of people available for one job. People like you and I are going to be looking at triple the amount of CVs than before. So you've got to make yourself relevant and stand out. So that might be a covering letter. It might be, Dear Claire.
Yeah.
I'm applying to this job because.
It's like, isn't it the same as when I send a CV to you, Alex? If I just pinged a CV to you over to you and went, have a look at this guy. Mm. Normally I sit there and go, what's relevant to you in this job? The location important. Do they speak German? Do they do this? Are they relevant to the job? What's their personality like? Which for me are the things that are really important. And I've been quite honest with those summaries sometimes. You know, they come across really well. Didn't laugh very much. Personality's a bit low. You know, could they work? You know, and that's up to you whether they would work within that environment or whether that's where they just had a bad day. But I just don't think people do that enough. They just ping over. Mm. I always think to myself when I'm reading a CV, do they care? Mm. Are they making me interested in them? Mm. Perfect example, when I did a CV edit the other day, and what my focus was, as soon as I see the CV, I'm just going to just be honest, straight there and then. Mm. And this guy had written out a CV and he had added a picture of his summary. I don't know what he'd done. He'd obviously just, I don't know why, but he just added a picture. So it's a JPEG file inside his CV, which is fine. But I couldn't edit, I couldn't touch it. It was all a bit fuzzy. So it didn't look very good. And then because he'd obviously thought that was the best summary ever, maybe 10 years ago, he thought, I'm just going to keep that. So he's never actually read it properly again. And he's just gone, there you go. Maybe added his new job, but didn't. So I thought, well, I'm going to read it. So I'm going to have a good read. And it didn't really make sense. It wasn't really relevant because it was a bit fuzzy. I couldn't be bothered to read it anymore. And then I got really bored very quick. And I hadn't really reached anywhere on his CV.
We had a medical content marketing role earlier on in this year. And I hadn't thought, I put this person forward, like the CV looked okay. I knew they had the skills because I'd spoken to them, but the manager came back and said no, because the content they'd written in their CV wasn't very good. And she said, it doesn't hold me out with much hope because they are going to be writing and creating content. And if they can't get that right in their own CV,
that's true.
And I know it's so simple, but I hadn't even thought about that. And then after that, I looked at all the other applications in different it with a different light.
It just doesn't put you in a, it doesn't say that it's, I'm not going to put you through, but it just doesn't put you on a great starting block if your first outfit, I guess, is a bin bag.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. It's first impressions.
I've really enjoyed talking to you, as always.
Claire, it's been an absolute pleasure. Great just to go through everything with you, and I look forward to our next one.
Now, that was a few snippets from the call I had with Alex the other day. We really hope you enjoyed our chat. We wanted our audience to really get thinking about how your CV may be read. If you are one of those candidates that are struggling with putting yourself on paper, don't worry. I've got your back. In the next podcast, I am flying solo and pumped to give you some juicy insight and trivial tips on how to make minor changes to your CV for bigger results. So don't forget to listen in. If you like what you heard, please remember to follow and share.